This is Lori Sonkin with WRFI Community Radio News for Tuesday, January 5th. Tonight, Walter Hang is in the studio once again. This time, we're going to talk with him about the natural gas pipelines crisscrossing our landscape. Welcome to the program, Walter.
Hi, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. So, let's begin. Listeners may not realize that kind of like highways, there are already built underground pipelines all over the country. They're not new. You recently looked at some data about pipelines in New York State. I'm curious, what did you find?
Well, I basically looked at a wide variety of pipelines that have been operating in New York, and these include natural gas pipelines, including the Dominion pipeline that goes right through Tompkins County. There's a huge compressor station in Ellis Hollow. And I've also looked at petroleum product pipelines and crude oil pipelines. And so I basically reviewed literally thousands of spills that had been reported to the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. And the DEC's own data documented a shocking array of huge explosions, fires, uncontrolled releases of toxic petroleum products. And many of these problems had simply never been cleaned up to meet the applicable standards that the state is supposed to enforce. And the reason I did this is because there are at least three major pipeline projects that are on the verge of getting what's called a Section 401 water quality certification.
Wait, before you get to that, can you tell us where would those pipelines go in more or less?
And I know. They literally go hither and yon. People can go to toxicstargeting.com. They can click on Marcellus Shale, and they can see a map of where all these pipelines are. I don't know if people have noticed, but you can be driving through the countryside, and you'll see these little markers, and it'll say natural gas pipeline.
Right.
So these are basically, for the most part, buried structures. They're in urban areas. They're all across upstate New York, and they're right here in Tompkins County. And so occasionally, you know, a farmer will be, you know, plowing along and hit the pipeline. There'll be a release of flammable or explosive material. And the next thing you know, there'll be a huge fire and explosion. People have been killed. Structures have been razed. And so all I did was review the DEC's own data. For example, one of them was gas pipeline explosion, Parker Schoolhouse Road, Harpersville, New York, does not meet the cleanup standards. January 25th, 2004, quote, some form of failure in the pipeline that caused the release of propane. The propane did ignite, close quote. Quote, cause to be determined, but seems to be equipment failure at shutoff valve. Estimate around 350,000 gallons gas released. Burn time 18 hours, one home leveled 100 yards away, close quote. So these problems have been documented literally hither and yon. In Auburn, there was a giant gasoline spill from a pipeline, and it literally migrated a mile. So again, in many cases, these problems were never cleaned up to the applicable standards.
Okay, so let's go now to the Clean Water Act and what you're calling on the governor to do.
So there are several major pipeline, either expansions or new pipeline projects. The biggest one is the Constitution Pipeline, and that would go from essentially northeastern Pennsylvania to near Schenectady. So that's received a conditional approval from FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, but it needs this Section 401 water quality certification. Otherwise, construction can't proceed. And according to the Department of Environmental Conservation, quote, in accordance with Section 401 of the Clean Water Act, applicants for a federal license or permit for activities including but not limited to the construction or operation of facilities that may result in any discharge into waters of the United States, close paren, are required to apply for and obtain a water quality certification from DEC indicating that the proposed activity will not violate water quality standards, close quote. So now more than 700 people, including elected officials, representative of groups, many of them right here in Tompkins County, have signed a coalition letter to the governor asking that he deny all the pending Section 401 water quality certification applications, because clearly DEC hasn't enforced the law in the past, and clearly they have no ability to do this in the future. And that's how come those applications have to be denied.
But how do we know that the Constitution Pipeline or Millennium or whatever is going to violate the Clean Water Act? I mean, you're just assuming that they messed up in the past, so they're going to mess up again. I mean, is that...
Well, for example, let's look at the Millennium Pipeline. So on June 6, 2008, quote, found contaminated soil, could be from older pipelines. AGES completed the groundwater investigation and found weathered petroleum, low-level groundwater contamination from the former Rockefeller crude oil transmission line installed in the 1920s. This doesn't meet the applicable standards. So there's absolutely no question that DEC has not enforced the law with regard to the existing pipelines. There are 114 major fires, explosions, ruptures, spills. Again, many of these were never cleaned up to meet the applicable standards. So I think it's absolutely clear-cut that the Department of Environmental Conservation has not fulfilled its responsibilities under the law up until now, and that's how come we're requesting that the governor deny these applications and kill these proposed projects, because number one, they really wouldn't benefit New York very much. Most of these pipelines, notably the Northeast Energy Direct, and the new market expansion of the existing Dominion pipeline, would simply transport the gas from Pennsylvania to other areas of the country. And so we basically think that the law is clear. You can't issue these certifications unless DEC deems that they will not cause water quality violations. And given their track record, that is just not the case.
Have you heard anything from the governor's office?
Nope. I always say that the governor is like dealing with the Sphinx. You write him, you basically talk to the press. People are calling the governor night and day, day and night, you know, echoing this request, and you never really hear anything. And this is exactly what we did with shale fracking. Beginning in 2009, I documented 270 fires, explosions, uncontrolled wastewater releases that were never cleaned up. And based on that research, we wrote a coalition letter and said, the draft supplemental generic environmental impact statement is inadequate. It doesn't in any way prevent these problems from occurring. And we want that draft ESGEIS to be withdrawn and all the shortcomings addressed. We documented them. We never really heard from the governor over the course of the ensuing 6 years. We asked for a comprehensive public health impact study by the Department of Health. He never responded. But ultimately, that's exactly what we got. And that has been prohibited in New York State. That is not a comprehensive ban in any way. But that's just the way that the governor operates.
Okay, so let me ask you something. I heard you talk on the Binghamton radio the other day about how you spent $100 or something, maybe a little more, to insulate your home. And, I mean, I've done something similar. And, I mean, we should all, to the extent we can, we should reduce our consumption of fossil fuels. But it's cold outside, okay? And how realistic is it to think that you're going to have, that we're going to wean ourselves off of natural gas? How long is it going to take to build enough renewables to keep people comfortable? How much money is it going to take? I mean, how are we going to do this?
See, I believe that the whole idea for 25 years that we're going to get rid of oil and gas and coal and these polluting fossil fuel sources of energy by developing wind, solar, geothermal and all these really complicated alternatives. I just don't believe that's happening, and it isn't happening. The sustainables in New York only provide 4.3% of the energy that we consume. Whereas
that's unbelievable, really.
That's pathetic.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That is just totally inadequate. And this is because the environmental movement is all talk and very little action.
The other thing that I read along those same lines is that nuclear power, there are six plants in New York State, and nuclear power provides 60% of the state's carbon-free electricity, if you consider it carbon-free.
Well, you see, we're of the generation where we recognize that you have this nuclear waste, that we don't have any place where we can store it safely, and it's just a problem that gets worse every day that these plants operate. But they can't compete against natural gas. The Fitzgerald Nuclear Power Plant in Oswego, New York, is going to get shut down reportedly because it lost $60 million last year. The power plant here in Lansing, you know, burns coal, it can't compete. And so we are right on the cusp, I think, of a totally different approach to meeting our energy needs. And the way to meet our energy needs is, number one, stop using fossil fuel. If fossil fuel is so polluting and it's contributing to climate change, we simply can't continue to burn this stuff. And so the environmental movement's fatal strategic flaw was they said, we can have all of the above. We can have oil, we can have gas, we can have coal, and then we'll have all this solar and wind and alternate, you know, sources of energy, and eventually we'll just pull out of the dive. Well, that hasn't happened for 25 years. And so back to the insulation. So I bought this lovely arts and crafts bungalow, and I could tell that it was totally uninsulated because I stood on the second floor. I could feel the heat coming in through the roof. And so I literally went to Home Depot. I bought, you know, like $139 worth of this blown cellulose insulation. It's basically just chopped up newspapers and magazines with boric acid mixed in so it doesn't catch fire. And you just fluff it up. It's kind of like oatmeal. And then you just fill your attic with it. I put 18 inches down. It was like R72. And then I just, you know, basically installed a computerized thermostat. I blocked drafts. I weather sealed my windows. And now my house is so cozy and toasty, I made back my total investment of less than $250 in one winter. So if you want to stop using fossil fuel, turn off your lights. Don't leave your windows open. You know, and so there is just such a simple, direct way for people, instead of talking about all the wonderful things that are going to happen in the future, let's just start, you know, the end of using fossil fuel. And everyone can help. And the amazing thing is, it'll actually save you money.
No, that should get people going, you would think. But
well, you know, I think people are always saying, you know, they don't want, you know, this will change our lifestyle. You know, that somehow, you know, we can't continue to live the way we've been living in this country and use a great deal less fossil fuel energy.
I think that's just patently not true. I mean, number one, if you look at the amount of oil that we're consuming, it is going down, down, down. Number one, because cars are getting more efficient at running on, you know, gasoline. Number two, a lot of people don't even drive cars. Like, my oldest son doesn't have a license, doesn't really want to drive a car, and a lot of his classmates, they simply don't drive cars. And so the most important thing is we just have to face this reality. If we don't want to use fossil fuel, if all the people listening to us are basically saying we're, you know, against climate change, we want to stop the world from getting warmer and causing all these horrible weather problems, then instead of talking about this nirvana future that everyone is always harping on, let's just stop using fossil fuel. And the simplest way to do that, number one, is you can start in your own home, you can start in your own community, and we can start in our own state. But we've got to stop these pipelines from bringing in more natural gas, more crude oil, more petroleum products, because we know they're bad. And so if people want to participate in this effort, number one, go to ToxicsTargeting.com, sign this latest coalition letter, and then number two, use the little quick action guide in the Citizen Alert and call the governor, 518-474-8390, and tell him, deny the Section 401 water quality certification application for the Constitution Pipeline. That's the first one up. If we kill that one, it'll set a precedent for the new market expansion of the Dominion Pipeline right here in Tompkins County and the NED. People just can't forward emails and be pro this, that, and the other thing. If you want to stop these projects, you got to participate.
Okay, so I have 30 seconds. I have a question. It's a little bit off topic, but let me ask you, what do you think about what the Congress did a few weeks ago before Christmas when they extended tax credits for 5 years for solar and wind in exchange for allowing the oil companies to export oil? Did you follow that at all?
You know, I just think that if you look at the cost of a solar array, right, like I insulated my house for $250 and immediately began saving money. If I put in a solar array, it would have been $13,000. And without the tax credits, it would have been $29,000. Who can afford that? So, yeah, I understand we're going to help get this industry going. But I just think that we should just let these industries stand on their own 2 feet. If they're so great, people will participate. They'll save money. They'll save the planet. It'll be great guns. But that hasn't happened for 25 years. And that's how come I think we need a plan B. We need to stop using fossil fuel by just reducing consumption and by reducing future energy demand.
Okay, Walter. Well, thank you so much for coming in. It's always a pleasure to have you on the station.
Thank you so much.